Hello and welcome to our course, Overcome Anything, using the techniques and the principles of Milton H. Erickson. I'm really looking forward to this course because unlike the academic courses that I've taught in the past about Ericksonian hypnotherapy, this course is an experience in Ericksonian hypnotherapy. In other words, I'm going to actually share with you the processes that Milton Erickson used, not only in his own life, but with his clients as well, and guide you through very similar processes so that you'll understand the value of these techniques from a very personal perspective. Now, I've taught a lot of courses on Ericksonian hypnotherapy. I've taught many academic courses where we look at the structure of Ericksonian language patterns and where we look at the academic papers of Milton Erickson. And although I am going to base the content of all four of these summer school courses on the collected works of Milton Erickson and the papers that he wrote, I'm going to take a decidedly experiential approach in each of these four classes. Now, this course, Overcome Anything, is our first course. And the reason why I chose this as the topic is this was really the starting point for Milton Erickson. As a child, Milton Erickson had many, many difficulties. We know about his difficulty with polio that almost took his life. In fact, he describes that in great detail in a chapter here on auto-hypnosis or self-hypnosis. But Milton Erickson had many other difficulties as well. He was dyslexic, unable to tell the difference between a 3 or an M. He had difficulties with his family, and growing up at the time period that he did in an agricultural economy, he was not surrounded by wealth and opulence. Throughout his life, he continued to carry the scars of his childhood, some emotional, but certainly physical as well, remaining in constant pain, and of course, using self-hypnosis techniques to manage his own pain. There's a tremendous amount that we can learn from Milton Erickson from the perspective of how to overcome anything. Maybe you've experienced recent difficulty in life, difficulty in your finances, or difficulty with your health, or difficulty with relationships, or difficulty with your job. The techniques of Milton Erickson were extremely helpful to him, but the good news is he shared those techniques with us in his writing so that we could benefit personally as well. And of course, the awesome thing is, as a professional hypnotist who works with other people, when I learn techniques and strategies that are helpful to me, I love to share those with clients. As a matter of fact, I think I'm a better hypnotist because I practice the techniques of self-hypnosis and often use those techniques that have benefited me with the clients who I work with, sharing with them from a vantage point or a viewpoint of passion. So my goal in this class is to guide you through some of these same processes that Milton Erickson guided himself through so that you too can experience success in life. Now, let's go back and talk a little bit about Milton Erickson. I'm sure that almost everybody who is attending this class is familiar with him. As a matter of fact, he's probably the most well-known hypnotist of all time. He was, interestingly enough, both a psychiatrist, an MD, and a psychologist. He practiced psychotherapy. In fact, in many of his case studies, he's actually utilizing traditional methods of counseling or psychotherapy rather than hypnosis. You know, in our profession, there's always this battle between psychotherapy and hypnosis. And the reality is that counseling and hypnosis are not mutually exclusive. We can integrate these skill sets to benefit not only the clients that we work with, but even us in our own life as well. Now, Milton Erickson is probably most well known for his battle with the American Medical Association. I suppose the history is, bringing it into a quick summary, the AMA was concerned about him using hypnotherapy as a tool for treating medical conditions. But Milton Erickson was able to prove through the many satisfied clients who he had worked with, as well as his academic writing, the validity of medical hypnotherapy, hypnosis as a tool for overcoming anything, even very real physical conditions. So those of you who do medical hypnotherapy can really thank Milton Erickson because he paved the way for the acceptance of hypnosis as a tool in modern medicine, rather than as it had been perceived before Milton Erickson's work, as a tool for either the con artist or the showman in a vaudeville or a stage hypnosis type scenario. And so Milton Erickson really is one of the real leaders that has paved the way for all of us to be here today. And so I'm excited to share with you the techniques from the papers of Milton Erickson that you can use in your own life. Now, before we actually get into these techniques, I want to mention a couple of things. There are two things below this video. First of all, if you're watching this as a real-time event, in other words, the day that we release the course, you'll actually find a chat box down below, and you can ask me any questions. I'm in the chat box, and I'm more than happy to clarify anything along the way as you progress through this course the rest of the evening. Now, if you're watching this on your own schedule, if you're watching it after we introduce the course, in other words, on your own schedule 24/7, not as a real-time event, what you'll find below instead of a chat box is a link to our internet forum. And you can visit our forum at www.icbchgroup.com, and you can join our forum and you can ask any questions about this course. And you're not only going to get feedback from me, but you're probably going to get feedback from one of our other 4,500 members who regularly participate in that forum. So you'll find either a chat box below if you're watching this as a real-time event, or you'll find a link to our forum so that you can ask any questions. There is one other thing below, and that is a link to our course called Speak Ericksonian. You can take that course, and as a participant in this course, you can actually get a special price, $20 off of that course. That's a 16-part course, complete with scripts and many other things that are true resources in Ericksonian hypnosis from an academic perspective. So below this video, you'll find either the chat box or a link to our forum, and you'll also find a link to that in-depth 16-part course called Speak Ericksonian, along with a $20 discount that enables you to really get into Ericksonian hypnosis from sort of an academic perspective at a very deep level. Now let's go ahead and begin, though, talking about some of the techniques. And the first technique that I want to share with you is really auto-hypnosis. In other words, self-hypnosis. Now self-hypnosis is absolutely important for us to master, and the reason why, this is how Milton Erickson learned hypnosis. Milton Erickson didn't take the ICBCH certification course. Milton Erickson didn't read Richard Nongard's book. Milton Erickson didn't get a university degree in hypnotherapy somewhere. What Milton Erickson did was he learned hypnosis experientially as a child. Now, he shares with us in his chapter on auto-hypnosis, in his collected papers, two stories of self-hypnosis and how it transformed his ability to help other people. The first story comes from his experience as a child with polio. And it was really a self-hypnosis experience that guided him through a night. He was left for dead. He wasn't expected to make it to morning. And even though he had heard the doctor's pronouncement, he used a fascinating technique that he called flashes of light to block out everything but the sunset and to hold on to that focal point or that image and its healing powers as a tool for making it through the night. This was really his first experience in hypnosis. He didn't know it was hypnosis at the time. He was only 9 years of age. But he shares another story in his chapter on auto-hypnosis of overcoming dyslexia, of being unable to tell the difference between a 3 or an M, and having a very hard time reading, and using the same techniques of self-hypnosis, really the same techniques that helped him survive that night that he wasn't supposed to make it through, to overcome dyslexia. And as you can see, throughout his adult life, he describes later on using these same techniques in self-hypnosis as a tool for pain control from the ongoing or the lingering effects of the polio that he had as a child. And so auto-hypnosis or self-hypnosis is our starting point. Now, I meet a lot of people who say, well, I hypnotize other people, but I just can't experience self-hypnosis. And I want to stress that it's really important to practice self-hypnosis so that you can learn the techniques that are useful to you and share those with power with the clients that you work with. Now, in the world of hypnosis, there's often a debate. Is all hypnosis really self-hypnosis? Well, from Erickson's perspective, we are always in a state of trance. In other words, we simply move in life from trance state to trance state. We have our driving trance when we are subconsciously driving a car in traffic. In fact, we have to drive a car subconsciously. If you cognitively or with the present mind thought about speed, rate, distance, all of the things that you have to do, you would be overwhelmed and unable to drive a car. So you have your driving trance, which is why you can drive a car safely. You have your maybe an anger trance or a depression trance or an excitement trance or an attention trance or a motivational trance. See, we go through life in various trance states. For Erickson, the question wasn't how do you hypnotize somebody? He didn't view hypnosis as something we do to somebody, but rather something we share with somebody. In fact, Ernest Rossi, who co-wrote many papers and books with Milton Erickson, he uses the metaphor of hypnosis as belly button to belly button communication. In other words, we're developing deep rapport with an individual at really a life-sustaining level. And this is all about working with a client to utilize their naturally occurring trance states. So the question for Erickson wasn't how do we hypnotize somebody, but how do we facilitate rapport at a level where we can help them utilize the internal resource states that we all have. And Milton Erickson believed that the subconscious mind is infinitely wise and that if we look inside of ourselves, we can overcome anything. He was able to do that with polio. He was able to do that with dyslexia. He was able to do that with chronic pain. He was able to do that in many other areas of life. And so let me ask you a question. In what areas of life are you struggling right now? What is it that you need to overcome? Maybe it's something simple like you woke up this morning with a headache and that headache is throbbing and it's bothering you. Or maybe you have stressors in your life. Maybe in an important relationship, things are not as you wish they were. Or perhaps you're dealing with financial issues in life, and those financial issues can be extremely stressful in life. Or maybe it's a vocational issue. Maybe for some people viewing this video, you really want to enter full-time hypnotherapy, but you haven't been able to this point, generate the resources necessary to truly build that successful practice. And so you're trying to overcome those obstacles in the way to truly achieve your dreams. Maybe you're in a situational place where something is not as you wish that it was at this particular moment in life. With the tools of self-hypnosis, you can literally use trance states to change not only your perception, but your experiences, your actions, your beliefs, and your attitudes. And this is the good news that Milton Erickson shares with us through his stories. Now, auto-hypnosis or self-hypnosis is something that everybody experiences in life. I always like to tell people, with or without a hypnotist, you experience hypnosis. And of course, highway hypnosis, driving trance, is the thing that many people are most familiar with. But I've often given this example as well. After a big Thanksgiving dinner in the USA, we have a Thanksgiving holiday where people eat a big dinner and then watch football traditionally with their family. And on Thanksgiving Day, have you ever eaten that big dinner or really any other holiday? And you sit on the couch and you're not asleep, but your eyes are closed. You can hear the kids and the rest of the family playing, and you know you could get up and help do the dishes if you wanted to, but it feels so good to simply continue to enjoy a day off and de-stress and relax that you continue to choose to just simply stay there on the couch. So there's another example of self-hypnosis. So with or without a hypnotist, we go in and out of trance states all of the time. Whenever I meet somebody who says, I can't do self-hypnosis, what I'm really hearing is I haven't learned to identify the various trance states that I experience in everyday life. And again, self-hypnosis is how Erickson started hypnosis. This is how he learned his techniques. He began to share with his clients after he became a medical doctor the things that were helpful to him. And he discovered that they were helpful to the clients as well. In fact, Milton Erickson's plan was to be a farmer. He had actually published a paper on farming migration of people leaving the family farm. His goal was to be an agricultural worker, but because of the physical limitations of polio, he knew that he would be unable to do the work of a farmer, so that's when he decided he would go to medical school. And so after medical school, he began sharing his own experiences with clients. And this is what I want you to take away from this course. The experiences that I guide you through in this course, I want you to apply to your life so that you begin to overcome the stressors that you're currently experiencing in life and begin to share these with your clients. Now, self-hypnosis is important because it's also how we get good at hypnosis. I meet people all the time who say, I've taken this course and that course and this course and that course and read this book, and that's great. I like it when people are well-trained and take a lot of courses from a lot of different instructors and read a lot of books from a lot of different people. But the reality is, you get good at hypnosis by practicing self-hypnosis. In fact, in my own life, I learned self-hypnosis before I ever learned how to hypnotize other people. When I was 18, I was in a car accident. I experienced a tremendous amount of pain. I went to see a chiropractor, and that chiropractor gave me a progressive muscle relaxation hypnosis cassette tape. And I listened to that, I practiced that. And it was through my experiences with self-hypnosis, a very simple process of progressive muscle relaxation, that I became excited about the ability to share that technique with other people. Early on in my career, before I ever finished my degree in counseling, I learned autogenic training, which is another technique, a meditative technique, that focuses on creating physical resource states. We can create emotional resource states in self-hypnosis, physical resource states like health, wellness, comfort, spiritual resource states. Autogenic training really focuses on the physical aspects. And I learned this before I ever even learned what the word hypnosis meant. And yet I have shared as my primary induction with my clients, an autogenic process with the clients that I work with. So it's self-hypnosis and practicing these techniques that actually help us to get good. And the great news about self-hypnosis is that when you practice self-hypnosis on a daily basis, being attentive to your trance states and choosing to enter and to exit resource trance states that are of value to you, you discover on your own techniques like Milton Erickson did that you can share with others. So we're going to go through a process, the same process that Milton Erickson used or described in his book here, in just a moment. But I want to encourage you to practice self-hypnosis on a regular basis. In fact, you can actually come back to the recording of this course, and you can fast forward to this part, and you can actually use this each and every day for a week as a way of practicing self-hypnosis. And when you do that, you'll discover that at the end of a week, you have you will have been on a journey of true self-discovery. But here are four things that I think are really important to truly benefit from the processes of self-hypnosis, especially the processes that Erickson gives us in his papers. The first is to let go. To set aside the stress of the day, hang a do not disturb sign on the door, turn the volume off on your phone, close out any windows that might bling or messages that might show up on the internet, And really dedicate some time to really practicing self-hypnosis. I want to ask you a question. You may have listened to some MP3s before, or maybe even practiced some meditation techniques, but have you ever committed to doing that on a daily basis for a period of time? A few years ago in the HypnoThoughts forum, Fable Goodman posted a thread called The Benefits of a Daily Practice, where he challenged people to practice a basic process in hypnosis each and every day for 30 days. And the thread was, for a long time, probably the most popular thread with more messages than any other message on the HypnoThoughts.com forum. And people who did that for 30 days had life-changing experiences. So let go. And number two is to practice these techniques on a regular basis. The other thing that I think is important is a lot of times people think they're supposed to have a specific experience. And if I make a suggestion that, you know, you'll feel heavy or warm, or if I make a suggestion that you'll, you know, experience a flash of light, sometimes people don't experience hypnosis the same way that I describe it. That's okay. This is your experience. And if at my suggestion you respond in a way that's meaningful to you but different than I describe, that is perfectly acceptable. So when we're working with clients, we need to recognize that this is one of Erickson's techniques, ambiguity. We can give our clients the flexibility to experience suggestion and trance in the way that's really most meaningful to them, because ultimately it's their subconscious mind that knows what's best for them. And the fourth principle of self-hypnosis is when you go through these processes, share them with your clients, share them with other people, share them with your family member, with your friends. If you're not working as a hypnotist, but you have some other job, share this with your employees. You don't even need to use the word hypnosis. When you discover that people could benefit from the processes because they share with you their own stress or you observe that stress, you'll be in a position to share with them the tools that have worked not only for Milton Erickson, but for you in your life as well. Now, if you happen to have the four-part collected works of Milton Erickson, I'm in volume one, and I'm actually in the chapter on auto-hypnosis, and I'm on page 111. And this is subtitled Auto-Hypnosis in Life Crisis. And I want to read for you the interview between Milton Erickson and Ernest Rossi. Ernest Rossi was a contemporary of Milton Erickson's, another psychiatrist, a co-author, and he interviewed Milton Erickson about his experience with self-hypnosis, and later, of course, titled this Auto-Hypnosis in Life Crisis. So here's what it says. It says, at the age of 17, when Erickson lay acutely ill with polio for the first time, he had the following experience. Erickson says this, as I lay in bed that night, I overheard three doctors telling my parents in the other room that their boy would be dead by morning. I felt intense anger that anyone should tell a mother her boy would be dead by morning. By the way, doctors are notorious for negative self-hypnotic messages. My mother then came in with a serene face, as serene a face as could be. I asked her to arrange the dresser, push it against the side of the bed at an angle. She didn't understand why. She thought I was delirious. My speech was difficult. But at that angle, by virtue of the mirror on the dresser, I could see through the doorway, through the west window of the other room. I was damned if I would die without seeing one more sunset. If I had any skill in drawing, I could still sketch that sunset today. Now really, there's our first lesson in self-hypnosis, and that is that we have to have a goal. Milton Erickson's goal was simple, to see one more sunset before he died. This is what's fascinating, though. He says, I saw the vast sunset covering the whole sky. But I know there was also a tree outside the window, but I blocked it out. Ernest Rossi says, you blocked it out. It was selective perception that enables you to say you were in an altered state. Yes, I didn't do it consciously. I saw all the sunset, but I didn't see the fence. And I didn't see the large boulder that was there. I blocked out everything but the sunset. After I saw the sunset, I lost consciousness for 3 days. When I finally awakened, I asked my father why they had taken out the fence, the tree, and the boulder. I did not realize that I had blotted them out when I fixed my attention so intensely on the sunset. Then as I recovered and became aware of my lack of abilities, I wondered how I was going to earn a living. I'd already published a paper on Agricultural Journal, Why Young Folks Leave the Farm. I no longer had the strength to be a farmer, but maybe I could make it as a doctor. So that's just a fascinating story. I wanted to actually read that so you could sort of hear it from the horse's mouth. But there was outside of this window a boulder, there was a fence, there was a tree. But all Milton Erickson saw was that beautiful sunset. And this is a technique for self-hypnosis that's truly helpful, to be able to fixate your attention. There's a meditative technique. It's called a Tratak meditation or a Tratak meditation. It's called an object meditation. It's where a person might place a beautiful object, whether it's a candle or a flower or a coin or a crystal ball or anything in front of them, and they simply fixate their attention on this. And a tool in self-hypnosis, when things feel overwhelming, is to fixate our attention on that which is healing to us. So if you have, for example, relationship difficulties and things are tough in life at the current time, there probably are certain things that are wrong in that relationship, but what is right with it? As a marriage and family therapist, I've used a technique with my clients I call the treasure chest. In other words, rather than trying to fix what's wrong with relationships, I've asked husband and wife to take this, you know, a spiral notebook and to simply write down one thing they value about your partner each day. They don't have to write an entire novel or book, one word, one sentence, one short paragraph, simply one thing you value about your partner today. And for the couples I've given that assignment to, it's made a remarkable difference in their life. For my pain control clients in hypnosis, in many cases, I don't try to get rid of their pain. They've been trying to do that with medication or thought control or anything else. What I try to do is help them to amplify their comfort level. So if you have pain in a foot, do you have comfort in another part of your body? What is that comfort like? Thich Nhat Hanh, who teaches mindfulness, talked about being grateful for having a non-toothache. You see, we only pay attention to our teeth when we have a toothache, rather than cultivating the habit of paying attention to the wonderful feeling when everything is working correctly and we don't have a toothache. And that's really at the heart of this first technique of Milton Erickson. Now, if we actually go back a couple pages in the book to page 109, he talks about overcoming dyslexia. And I want you to see the parallel between his polio story and how he overcame dyslexia. As a six-year-old kid, Erickson was handicapped with dyslexia. Try as he might, the teacher couldn't convince him that a 3 and an M were not the same. So Erickson says this, "Can you imagine how bewildering it is? Then one day, it's so amazing, there was a sudden burst of atomic light. And I saw the M and I saw the 3, and the M was standing on its legs and the 3 was on its side with its legs sticking out. The blinding flash of light, it was so bright, it cast into oblivion every other thing. There was a blinding flash of light in the center of that terrible outburst of light. There was the 3 and there was the M." So Rossi asks him this question, "You really saw a blinding flash of light? You saw it there? It's not just a metaphor?" Erickson answers, "Yes. And it obscured every other thing other than the 3 or the M." Notice, in these two experiences early on, before Milton Erickson ever understood what hypnosis was, he fixated his attention, a burst of light on a sunset. And in doing so, he was able to set aside everything that was keeping him from accomplishing his goal. In modern psychology, a lot of research has been spent on studying flow states. Flow is the buzzword in psychological research at the current time, but Milton Erickson was onto this long before even the 1950s as a psychiatrist. But when he was a little kid, learning to really become truly immersed in something so that he could focus all of his resources on that, using it as a tool to overcome anything. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to actually guide you through a process, a self-hypnosis process. Sure, I'm going to be speaking and I'm going to be giving you suggestions, but these are actually suggestions that you asked me to make by registering for this course. You signed up for a course where you would learn Ericksonian techniques. And so the suggestions that I'm giving really aren't from me to you. They're actually suggestions that you've asked me to make because they are important to you. So this process is really a process of self-hypnosis. It's what you've asked me to create for you by registering for this course. And so the experience is fully yours. Now, one of the things that I've done is I've used my incredible Photoshop skills, and I've actually created an image that is very similar to what Milton Erickson described with the tree and the boulder and the fence and the sunlight. In fact, I couldn't find a picture with a boulder in it. I could get one with a tree and a sunset and a fence, so I Photoshopped in a boulder, and you'll see it here in just a minute. And when I put this up on the screen, I want you to go through this process of self-hypnosis that I'm guiding you through. And the cool thing about this is I'm providing you with a complete transcript. So on this page, you'll also find below this video a link to the PDF so that you can actually get the transcript and actually use this as a script for either your own self-hypnosis or share this in your sessions with your clients. So what you're seeing right now on this video is actually a static image. It's an image of a sunset, and an image of a tree, and an image of a boulder, and an image of a fence, and of course, the grass below and the sky above. This image is one that's similar to what Milton Erickson described in his experience in overcoming polio, of making it through the night. And so, as you view this video, or at this moment, simply listen to my voice, make sure that you have set aside this time for learning and experience by turning off your cell phone for a few minutes, and by perhaps closing the door, and even turning the volume down on any chat boxes or Facebook or any other windows on your computer that might be open. And simply dedicate yourself to experiencing what it is that you've come here tonight to experience. And bring all of your attention, as Milton Erickson did, to that beautiful sunset. You can see the tree in front. You can see the boulder to the left. You can see the grass below and the sky above. But fixate your attention on that sunset. Essentially, stare at the center of the sun in this picture. Really practice bringing all of your attention to it. As you breathe in and breathe out, you can let your breath relax. You can unclench the jaw, and you can relax the muscles of the body. And as you sit in the chair where you're viewing this course, simply congratulate yourself for learning something new by experience. And allow yourself to really immerse your experience in the fixated gaze on this sunset. In fact, you'll notice how, even though we know it's a picture of a sunset, you can almost feel the warmth of the sun, and that's pretty cool. And you've no doubt, by simply staring at this sun for the last minute or so, as you have been doing, begun to notice yourself immersed in this experience and effortlessly have set aside any stressors of the day. Maybe there are people in the other room making noise, or noise from the street, or even noise from your own mind that to this point had occupied some of your attention, but by choosing to focus your attention on the sun in this picture, without any effort, those things have diminished in importance. Now, anytime you stare at something for a long enough period of time, it might begin to change a little bit, perhaps become crisper and sharper and clearer and easier to see. Or perhaps that sunset has become a little hazier and the whole image is fuzzier and out of focus and less clear. Different people experience it in different ways, and you might even experience it in different ways at different times. Maybe it hasn't changed at all. That's okay. What's really changed to this point is your ability to truly focus your attention in one place. And in our busy world, that is a very valuable skill to have. Now, go ahead and close your eyes down. Close your eyes now. And notice something amazing. Even with the eyes closed, it's almost as if you have X-ray vision. And you can still see the boulder and the grass. You can still see the fence and the tree and the sky above and the sunset. The mind is incredible. Even though something might be out of sight, we know in Milton Erickson's case, the sun went down because he lay in a coma for 3 days. In fact, the sun went down and the sun rose and the sun went down and the sun came up. But he recalled throughout that time being aware only of the sunset. And so as your eyes close, amplify your awareness of that sunset. Bring yourself into the sunset. Notice you're not trying to not see the boulder, and you're not trying to not see the fence. and you're not trying to not see the grass or the tree or the sky, but you're bringing yourself right into the center of that sunset, its radiance right now, filling your inner vision and your mind's eye. Allow yourself to bathe in the warmth of the sunset, the healing energy from the sun. Modern medicine, of course, tells us that vitamin D comes from our exposure to sunlight, and that that is something good for our heart and good for our health. And so pay attention to the healing energy of the sun, the power of the solar rays to calm the body, to heal the soul, and to bring a sense of health and wellness and calm and happiness. And notice something. Notice that without effort, that sun is still there, that radiant sunset. But just like Milton Erickson, the boulder is gone, the tree is gone, the sky is gone, the grass is gone. And if those things can disappear from your imagery, so can depression, or stress, or anxiety, or pain, or problems, or frustration. And with each breath and each moment, continue to relax into this experience, but even more importantly than relaxation is fixation. This is the trance state that we call hypnosis. It's not something I've done to you, it's something that you've created and experienced by going through this process. This is your time, it is your chance, it is your experience. And it feels really wonderful right now, doesn't it? And so ask yourself, what is it that I need to overcome? Is it health? Is it in your relationships? Is it in some other important area of life? And begin to focus on that inner sun, those inner resources, those capacities that you have to transcend difficulty and to hold on to hope and amplify that sensation right now. Just as the sun can become brighter with each number, the sun becomes brighter. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That inner hope, those inner resources that you possess, again, whether it's confidence or perseverance or comfort or health, you can amplify right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And really notice what this experience has been like for you. Although it's been a very short experience, about 10 or 12 minutes, something has happened. You've not only practiced self-hypnosis and set aside this time for learning, but intuitively, at a metaphysical level, you understand now that the same technique that Milton Erickson used to overcome anything is the exact same technique that you can use to overcome anything. And so I'm going to give you a minute or so. I'm not going to talk. I'm just going to let you and your subconscious mind enjoy this time, bringing all of your attention to those inner resources, those things that are wonderful about you that you possess, and allow you time to amplify them so that when this session is over, and when I ask you to open your eyes, you'll be able to step into this new chapter of life, sharing with others the value of this technique and experiencing it in your own life as often as necessary, either with or without this video. And so our 1 minute begins right now. And now with the next breath, simply pay attention to the way that it feels to breathe that air into the lungs and to exhale. Pay attention to my voice and what it feels like to have set aside this time to learn through experience. Pay attention to the chair below you, pay attention to the room around you, and be ready when I count to three to open the eyes, feeling fantastic, wide awake and ready for the rest of our class. One, feeling fantastic. Two, taking in another deep breath, feeling absolutely wonderful, stretching any muscles that need to be stretched. And three, opening the eyes, wide open, feeling fantastic. Now, my hope is that you followed that process, this process that you've asked me to guide you through by registering for this class. Again, the wonderful thing is that you have full access to the video on your own schedule, and you can actually use this 12-minute exercise as a daily practice in self-hypnosis each and every day for the next week. In fact, I'd love it if you do that and even post the results of your experience in our forum at www.icbchgroup.com. It's always great to hear what people's experiences are as they go through these processes. Now, that was again an experience in self-hypnosis using some of those descriptors that Milton Erickson had in his book on or his paper on auto-hypnosis. I'm going to go through another quick process with you before we get into arm levitation that deals with flashes of light. We're just going to see how creative the mind can be. I mentioned autogenic training a few minutes ago, and autogenic training is unrelated to Ericksonian hypnosis. As a matter of fact, autogenic training predates Milton Erickson's work in hypnosis. A German cardiologist named Johannes Schultz actually created a process, a meditative process called autogenic training. And autogenic simply means auto, self, and genic, generate. So generating from within oneself experiences. And so Dr. Schultz, he taught his cardiology patients. He lived at a time in the 1930s before we had, you know, Plavix and before we had bypass surgery and orangutan hearts and monkey valves and all the modern science that we have today to deal with heart difficulties. So a lot of his patients were just dying. As a matter of fact, I've often said it probably sucked to be a cardiologist back in the early 1930s. But he discovered that he could teach his heart patients to self-regulate, to create physical sensations that created a state not only of calm, but a healing state. And this is called autogenic training. In fact, here on subliminalscience.com, we actually offer a course in autogenic training using the 8-week protocol of Dr. Schultz. I've been using it as a hypnotic technique with my clients for many years. But when Erickson talks about flashes of light, what he's really describing is the ability to create anything. So we can create physical sensations like autogenic training teaches, but we can also create experiential processes like flashes of light. And Erickson, throughout his life, used flashes of light, literally creating flashes of light, as a way to have breakthrough moments and experiences. And so what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to replace my video with an image of light, and we're going to get creative, and you're going to experience flashes of light right here, right now, as a tool for using the creative mind to overcome anything. So right now, bring all of your attention to the image you see on the screen, to the pinprick star holes that are before you in the black background of the sky. Fixate your attention on these points of light. In fact, bring all of your attention to just one of those points of light. And as you breathe in and breathe out, and as you relax, enjoy setting aside any stress of the day and fixating on a star millions of light years away. Sometimes I like to go out into the night sky, especially if I'm in the countryside where there is no light pollution, and really enjoy the brilliance of the stars. One of the things that always amazes me, though, is that if you sit under the stars for a long enough period of time, you see that the sky is alive. The sky is alive with brilliance, and that star that you are fixating on right now will begin to shimmer and shine and glow. And that star that you're fixating your attention on has its own orbit, its own rotation, its own subtle changes. And the rays from the star may become bigger and brighter, or they may contract and become smaller and even become a pulse of light in the night sky. Our mind is creative, and it's amazing how, even with simply a photograph and a video, we can experience this. And so go ahead and close your eyes down now if your eyes aren't closed yet, and continue to focus on the brilliance of that star. And as you focus on the brilliance of that star, you can amplify the brilliance of that star, and you can see flashes of light around that star, billions of light years away. Birth to new stars and new life that you've created in your own mind right here and right now. And some of you are experiencing a flash of light at different levels. Some of you are seeing an entire fireworks show of stars and brilliance and flashes of light. And some of you are simply noticing the pulse of one star, and either way is perfectly okay. Because what's important is you've set aside a moment to use the creative power of the mind to create an experience of brilliance as you envision the stars and those flashes of light. And enjoy those flashes of light right now, attaching a meaning of your choice to each burst of light. Is it energy to get you through a difficult transition in life? Is that next burst of light energy at a physical level to help you get through the tasks of the day? Is that next burst of light an idea that solves a financial problem? Is that next burst of light hope and love in your important relationships in life? You see, this light show, this star show that you've created right here, just like Milton Erickson, who morphed an M into a 3 and began to see clearly, is a strategy that you can use to bring light to any dark corner of your own life at any time it's important to you. And so my post-hypnotic suggestion to you is simple. Anytime over the next day or two or three, or even the next week or two or three, anytime you're experiencing difficulty in any scenario or situation, simply close your eyes for a moment and let those bursts of light bring the power for problem resolution and health and happiness and success at every level to that moment of difficulty. And by doing so, you'll discover that a principle that Erickson used in his own life is something that benefits you and a post-hypnotic suggestion that you can pass along to your clients to help them experience success as well. And so now, take in a breath. Take in a breath and notice what it's like to feel in that breath. Become energized from the oxygen in that breath. Exhale. Stretch out any muscles that need to be stretched out. And be ready to open the eyes when I count to three, opening the eyes to a brilliant new light. One, two, three, opening the eyes, feeling absolutely wonderful and fantastic. Now in this course, Overcome Anything, I want to share with you a little bit about hand levitation. Milton Erickson is probably most well known for the technique of using hand levitation in hypnosis. And I'm going to teach you what I think is a really cool variation on the traditional approach of Ericksonian hand levitation. Paper number 23 in the collected works of Milton Erickson is a paper titled Indirect Forms of Suggestion in Hand Levitation. Now, by hand levitation, we're talking about giving the indirect suggestion that they will experience that their hand will rise. Okay, and almost all hypnosis courses that are teaching hypnosis from an Ericksonian perspective will almost always begin with the experience of creating a rising or a levitating hand. Now, I want to share with you what value this is, though. And there are really two primary values. The way Milton Erickson did it, he would actually have them at the beginning of their session, their induction, if you will, begin to levitate that hand, and he would actually have them put it on their face, and he would actually do the whole session with their hand attached to their face, if you will. Now, if you do a 40-minute or a 50-minute or even a 20-minute session with a client and their hand is in this position, what happens at the end of the session? They feel fatigue in the arm. The hand has been up here the whole time. If you hold your hand for a long enough period of time, you really feel that. And so Erickson, what he would do is he would bring somebody out of trance and he would let them notice. Sometimes people would be shocked that their hand was at their face. They didn't know why it was there. Those are people, of course, who didn't have memory of each and every suggestion that was given. I don't concern myself to whether or not my clients do or don't have a memory of suggestions. In fact, with many of my clients, I want them to know what the suggestions are. But clients are often surprised to find their hand at their face. And when they feel how heavy their hand is or how fatigued it is, they actually know that they've been in this position for a long period of time. So it becomes a way of validating time distortion. Milton Erickson used a lot of time distortion. In fact, he wrote a book titled Time Distortion in Hypnosis. This particular book is really cool. It's actually autographed by Milton Erickson. In fact, it's ascribed to Dr. W.M. Jennings, M.D., with my regards, February 1956, Milton H. Erickson. So here's a signed copy of the book, Time Distortion in Hypnosis. By the way, the interesting thing about William Jennings is he was a hypnotist used to interrogate the Boston Strangler and Sirhan, and he was found dead in 1974 in a Las Vegas hotel room on an apparent suicide gunshot, but there was no gun recovered. So certainly an interesting theory, especially for the conspiralists out there. But this book is autographed by Milton Erickson to William Bryant. And so the hand levitation serves as a way of ratifying time distortion. Wow, I have been in trance for a long period of time. And if your client believes that they've been in a hypnotic state for a long period of time, then they believe that there was value in that and that they will be able to act on the suggestions that were given. The other thing that I think that is not really discussed in regards to the value of the hand levitation, particularly with clients, is that it shows them that they can do something. A lot of my clients have a misbelief, I can't do anything right, or no, I can't overcome my depression, I can't get out of bed, or I can't stop drinking, or I can't not have a cigarette. My clients are filled with things that they don't believe that they can do. And one way to demonstrate the power of hypnosis to clients is to see that they really can produce hypnotic phenomena. There are a lot of different things we associate with hypnotic phenomena, from anesthesia to time distortion to age regression. All of these things are examples of hypnotic phenomena, positive, negative hallucination, and hand levitation. Really, the ability to respond to suggestion itself is one of those things that our clients can do as well. So if you have a new client who's not really sure that they can benefit from hypnosis, that they can even do these things because it seems so overwhelming, well, if they can do this, they can do anything. So I'm gonna go through the process of a hand levitation induction with you so that you can experience it from sort of the classical perspective. Now, one of the cool things is I put a video up on YouTube about 8 years ago titled Milton Erickson Hand Levitation, and it's got hundreds of thousands of people who viewed that video, and it's got tremendous feedback. So there's another resource for you to learn the hand levitation. And Milton Erickson might actually go through this process with a client, and take 10, 20, 30 minutes, 40 minutes focusing on hand levitation. Obviously, the constraints of this class, we're going to get right into these suggestions fairly quickly, but you've already experienced 2 self-hypnosis sessions in this, so I don't think you'll have any difficulty bringing yourself to that resource state that we call hypnosis. And so to begin, wherever you're sitting, just rest your hands on your lap, or you can rest your hands on the side of the chair, you can rest your hands on the desk in front of you, but don't cross the hands, just leave them open like that, okay? And go ahead and close your eyes and take in a breath, breathe in and breathe out. Bring yourself fully into this moment. This moment where you're learning something new, and this moment where you're experiencing the power of self-hypnosis and the power of responding to the suggestions that I give during this hypnosis session. Chances are pretty good you've experienced hypnosis many times before. And so bring yourself to that resource state that you associate with hypnosis. You can unclench the jaw, you can relax the muscles of the eyelids and the brow. You can even let your chin drop towards your chest a little bit. Relax the shoulders. Relax the biceps and the forearms. And even the little tiny muscles of your hands. And as you breathe in and breathe out, with each breath, double not only your experience of relaxation, but double your awareness of this moment and of your mind's ability to experience success, to overcome anything. Relax the muscles of the back, the belly, the buttocks, the thighs. Our legs do so much work carrying us from place to place, and relax the shin, the calves, and the little tiny muscles of the feet. Really enjoy this time that you've set aside for learning something new. Feels great, doesn't it? To truly step into a moment of trance and to utilize trance in a way that's beneficial to you and the clients that you work with. And just as our prior exercises brought our attention to the sunset or to stars, bring your attention to your hands right now. Notice what they feel like, deeply relaxed, warm and heavy, deeply relaxed. And your subconscious mind is intuitive, and it has already made a selection. And I don't know if your unconscious mind has intuitively selected the left hand because that is the right choice for you, or if your subconscious mind has chosen the right hand because it's the only one left. It really doesn't make a difference. What's most important is that right now, you begin to notice a difference in one of those hands, an awareness of lightness in one of those hands. And you can let the other hand be heavy and relaxed. But enjoy the lightness that you've created in the other hand. Noticing that relaxation brings a sensation of lightness, as if it's being lifted in the air. Allowing that hand to rise off your desk or armrest or off of your thigh. At first, perhaps just a little bit, but noticing with each breath and each moment and each thought, an ability for that hand to simply rise as if it has a mind of its own. Knowing that your unconscious mind has made the right choice for you. And that there's nothing left for you to do but allow that hand to be free and lift itself higher and higher and higher. And as it goes higher and higher, allow your conscious mind and your trance state to go deeper and deeper, enjoying this moment of experience, learning the methods of Ericksonian hypnosis. In fact, allow the hand to lift all the way now to the level of your nose and let that hand rest on the side of your face, letting your face support that hand. Perhaps knowing with the conscious mind exactly where it is, but recognizing that it was the unconscious mind that allowed it to rise and lift. And this really is a tremendous metaphor for our ability to rise and lift over anything. Anything, whether it's physical or emotional or spiritual. Because if we can allow our hand, something as silly as a hand, to rise, we can allow our spirit to rise and lift over any troubles in life. And so take in a breath and open your eyes. Open your eyes and leave your hand where it is, noticing your hand either resting on your face or noticing your hand in the air. It's pretty remarkable, isn't it? And go ahead and close your eyes down now, continuing to relax the body, relax the mind, and letting that awareness of where your hand is simply amaze you in this moment. And now with the next breath, let oxygen fill the lungs. And when I count to three, be ready to open the eyes. Knowing how to utilize trance states even more effectively through experiencing a hand levitation experience. One, feeling energized. Two, feeling uplifted. And three, opening the eyes, knowing that you have the ability to transcend and overcome anything. Oh, by the way, if your hand is still in the air, you can go ahead and set it down now. By the way, I collect a lot of rare books, and this is pretty cool here. This is actually a first edition of Time Distortion and Hypnosis. Here's a second edition, and this is also autographed by Milton Erickson. So anytime I have an opportunity to buy collectible Milton Erickson books, I do. And here's two copies of Time Distortion in Hypnosis. So pretty cool. Now, I want to share with you a technique that is related to the arm levitation that I think is absolutely wonderful. Sometimes new hypnotists have a lack of confidence. They're not sure if they can really get that hand to rise in the air. By the way, I have a video on YouTube called Hypnosis to Hypnotize the Hypnotist to Have Confidence to Hypnotize People. You can do it. People will lift their hand into the air. In fact, if you want to, give a round of applause in the chat room if this is a live webcast for you by typing in threes. That's the way we applaud in an internet chat room if your hand rose into the air. But this is a technique called a reverse arm levitation, and it's even easier. And so I want to share this with you because I think it's really brilliant, and it uses gravity. You see, this we perceive as difficult to do because it defies gravity, the levitation. It's hard to get a hand to lift up into the air. Now we're doing it through suggestions. By the way, I used in my induction there a lot of confusion, left, right, right, left, and other confusion techniques that are known for Erickson. If you're interested in our Speak Ericksonian course, I go into great detail on all of these linguistic methods that Milton Erickson used with his clients and how they can be helpful. But a reverse arm levitation actually uses gravity. Now, I'm not aware of Erickson using a reverse levitation, but I know a number of people who've studied Erickson have used a reverse arm levitation. And so let me share this with you, because this is really pretty cool. It's actually a lot of fun. So what I'd like you to do is just simply hold your hand out in front of you just like this. And perhaps you have a bracelet like I do, and you can bring all of your attention to that, to a spot on the back of that bracelet. Or perhaps if you don't have a bracelet, there's a freckle or a spot or a mole or even a hair. Or just a place on the back of your hand where you're aware of your hand. Now you need to make sure that you don't have a table here, but you just sit in that chair, you know, like this. Bring all of your attention to that spot, okay? You can see that Ericksonian techniques often use fixated attention as a way of entering into trance states. So bring all of your awareness and your attention to that spot on the back of the hand, and go ahead and close your eyes. And again, notice how even with the eyes closed, you have the ability to bring your attention to that spot on the back of the hand. As you breathe in and breathe out, set aside any stress or tension of the day, any cares or concerns, anything either known or unknown keeping you from experiencing success, and just be present, focusing on that spot on the back of the hand. And as you focus on that spot on the back of the hand, notice how the hand feels heavy. Heavy from simply holding it in the air. And you can imagine that I'm actually in the room with you, and that I have in my hand some steel rings. Steel rings that maybe are like the steel hoops you've seen a magician use when doing a magic trick. And imagine that I'm placing one of those large hoops or steel rings on the back of your hand, and you can feel the weight of that. Now you know they're not too heavy. But by adding one hoop to the back of the hand, it becomes a little bit heavier and a little harder to hold in the air. And as you breathe in and breathe out, feel the weight of that single hoop on the back of your hand. And imagine that I place another hoop along with the first one on the back of the hand, and then it becomes harder and harder to hold that hand in the air. And that hand begins to drop a bit, drop a bit. And as I place the third hoop on the back of the hand, it becomes even heavier, and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth, impossible to hold up any higher. And let that hand come all the way down, resting on the armrest of your chair or on your lap, deeply relaxed. Deeply relaxed. And now notice how wonderful it feels to have let go completely, and to have let the weight of those steel rings bring the hand to a resting place of comfort. And you have an ability. You have an ability to allow the weight of any problem to simply bring you to a resting point, to a place of comfort, to a place of relaxation. And so in this moment, in this place, with each breath, allow yourself to relax even further into this moment, feeling wonderful and empowered. Not only because you've let go absolutely of those heavy weights that you were carrying, but you've also learned another way of focusing attention in a hypnotic induction using a reverse arm levitation, something you can share with the clients who you work with and even recreate in self-hypnosis. And now I'm going to give you another minute or so. I'm going to be silent. And I'm going to allow you'd access the subconscious part of your mind, and to access anything either known or unknown keeping you from success in all that's important to you, health or wealth or happiness or love. And release now. Let go of. Anything either known or unknown. So that when I count to three and ask you to open your eyes, you'll be entering into a new chapter of life feeling fantastic and feeling wonderful. A moment of silence now, letting the subconscious mind do the work, releasing anything either known or unknown forever. Through that hand resting in your lap, through your leg and into the shoe resting on the floor and into the core of the earth, gone forever and ever. Feels wonderful, doesn't it? We've experienced so much today, but the good news is, the post-hypnotic suggestion is, that you can take anything and everything that you've learned in these experiences in this class, and with the transcript of this class that I'm going to provide, that you can use essentially as a script to benefit people who come to you looking for compassion and care and success. And so with the next breath, breathe in that oxygen, let it energize the body, and be ready when I count to three to open the eyes, feeling fantastic. One, two, three, opening the eyes, feeling fantastic, and ready for the rest of the day. Now, I really want to thank you for participating in this course. I've covered a lot of material in this course, and I'm really glad that you were able to go through it once. And if, again, you have any questions, you can type them in the chat box below. And if you're not watching this as a real-time event, you can ask any questions by simply going to my forum at icbchgroup.com. The link is down below. And I'm really looking forward to answering any questions that you have. But what I really like about the opportunity that you have in this course is you have the opportunity to view it as many times as you would like. You have continued access to it. It never expires. So as long as I'm alive on the planet, you'll be able to access these materials. And you can use this to really practice. I'm looking forward to you joining me next month for our next Ericksonian experiential training program. It's going to be as beneficial and as useful as this one. Again, I've provided a transcript of this entire seminar, so it's down below, and you can actually access that PDF. You can print it out. You can use it with scripts. I want this course to be a resource for you to help you overcome anything and to be able to help your clients overcome anything as well. And again, you have a tremendous opportunity right now to take the Speak Ericksonian course. I put a link down below here for $20 off, which means that you have the ability to take that course at a discount. And literally hundreds of people have taken that course and really learned Ericksonian hypnosis at an in-depth level. And I'm looking forward to your participation in that course. In fact, I wrote a book with James Hazelrigg titled Speak Ericksonian that's based off of much of the material in this course. And so if you register for this course, I actually give you a free PDF of that book, Speak Ericksonian, that James Hazelrigg and I wrote. And it has lots of scripts and resources as well. Again, I'm really glad that you decided to participate today. But even more importantly, I'm glad that you were able to apply these things to your own life. Notice how wonderful you feel right now at the end of a class, because you have, in fact, practiced the techniques that can help you to overcome anything and step into abundance and prosperity and health and success. I'm Dr. Richard Nongard. Thank you for joining me. Feel free to ask me any questions at any time, because I love helping people discover the answers that help them to help other people.